Vicar of Dibley fans amongst us will be well tuned to the ending of each episode, where Geraldine, the vicar, would sit with Alice, the verger, in the vestry, and Geraldine would often tell a joke in which Alice usually didn't quite get the punchline. Here is one of those jokes. Two nuns are driving through Transylvania when suddenly a huge vampire jumps in front of the car. One nun says to the other, "Quick, show him your cross." So the other rolls down the window and shouts, "Move out the way, you toothy git." It's silly, but it makes the point. What do we mean when we say, show our cross? The cross is everywhere. In churches, walls of homes, hung around necks, clutched in prayer, tattooed on skin. But why the cross? Why has an ancient instrument of torture become the most recognisable and powerful symbol of faith and hope? Today, as we said, in the church calendar, marks the Feast of the Holy Cross, when St. Helena, who was Constantine's mum, went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, to try and find the cross in which Jesus died. And apparently she did, or those who she sent to find it did. And so the 14th of September 335 marks the day that a church was built and consecrated on that land, and in which fragments of the true cross were kept for people to go and see. And so since then, Christians around the world have kept this day as a chance to reflect on the meaning of the cross and the nature of Christ's sacrifice. Now, we've all probably thought about the cross to one point or another, and we could debate it and talk about it endlessly. Theories of atonement, reconciliation of humanity. It's a vast and inexhaustible mystery. But this morning, like a good Anglican priest and preacher I am, I want to focus on one area with three points. And I want to draw out particularly the theme that I see in our readings, that the cross is a place where Christ is lifted up. And he's lifted up in three ways. Lifted up for healing, lifted up for love, and lifted up to glory. So lifted up for healing. We had that Numbers reading, that Old Testament passage, where it included serpents biting people and killing them with their poison. They were hungry, weary, and angry at God. And so they were grumbling even about how terrible the food was. And they'd lost sight that God did care. But God didn't abandon them. He tells Moses, doesn't he, to make a bronze serpent and lift it high on a pole so that whoever looked at it would live. Now, it wasn't anything about the serpent itself. It wasn't special bronze that it was built with. But by people looking at it, it was a demonstration of trust, of God's power and his provision. And then centuries later, in our gospel reading for today, Jesus picks up that exact image. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In other words, just as the Israelites looked at that serpent and found healing for their wounds, so we can look at Christ on the cross and find healing for ours. The cross, that great God's act of great healing, not by taking away all suffering, but by transforming it into a place where grace and mercy are revealed. Lifted up in healing on the cross. Second, we've got lifted up in love. Why would God choose such a way? Why a cross? Why that humiliation? Why even death on a cross, as Paul says in that letter to the Philippians? Jesus could have died in a multiple of ways, and yet it was on a cross. An implement of death and torture that the Roman authorities kept to the worst of criminals in their eyes. It was slow, humiliating, vulnerable and horrific. So why? Why was he there, stretched out, arms wide, nailed to this tool of horror? And I think the answer comes in part to probably a verse we've all heard and can recite in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was lifted up, not to condemn us, but to save us. The cross, the ultimate demonstration of love. Just think about that. At that very place where human cruelty, rejection, and violence reached the peak, God's love was revealed most clearly. The cross is God saying, "There is no place I will not go for you. No shame too great, no suffering too deep, no sin too heavy. I will bear it all for you because I love you." And I think this is why the cross stands at the center of our faith. When we reference the cross, we are proclaiming that love, not a sentimental love, but a love that costs everything. And that love is for the world in all its brokenness and mess. So when we see the cross, hear these words, "For God so loved you." There's a medieval poem that Caroline introduced me to this week called The Dream of the Rood. Rood being medieval English for cross. And this poem is the cross itself speaking, telling how it once stood as a tree in a forest cut down and turned into the instrument of execution. It remembers trembling as Jesus embraced it, feeling his blood soak into its wood. At one point, the rood says, "I trembled when the man embraced me. I dared not bow or break against the Lord's will. I stood fast. I was raised as a rood. I bore the mighty King, the Lord of heaven. I dared not bend." Here we can feel, we can hear the agony of dying on a cross. Not just Christ's pain, but the cosmic weight of it. The cross itself trembles under the suffering, yet knows it has become the place of salvation. It is both scarred and glorified, drenched in blood, yet shining with honour. And what the poem captures so vividly is the paradox of the cross. At once a shameful and triumphant, but also agonizing and glorious. Christ's death was no easy thing. He endured the worst the world could give, but it was through the agony that love was revealed and salvation achieved. And then it goes on, the dreamer beholds this vision, responding by pledging to cling to the cross himself. He says he will honour it, take it as his own, because he knows that in carrying the cross, he will share in Christ's victory. The poem puts into words what the gospel calls us to live, to gaze upon the cross, not as an ornament, but an invitation, to enter into the pattern of Christ's love, even when it costs us. So we've had the cross as lifted up to heal, lifted up in love, and now lifted up in glory. But we know, as New Testament people, the story doesn't end with the cross. Death is not the final word. Paul tells us in that Philippians letter that because Jesus humbled himself even to death on a cross, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. The lowliest place becomes that turning point. The cross, the symbol of humiliation, becomes the doorway to glory. Jesus is raised, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we've had the three: lifted up for healing, lifted up in love, lifted up to glory. What the world saw as shame, God has turned into salvation. What looked like defeat has become victory. So today, may we lift our eyes to the cross, see it as our place of healing, hope, and future. And as we do, may we be lifted up too, into the love and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. And as I finish, I leave with the response of the dreamer in that poem. May the rood be my joy, so that I may seek the tree of triumph alone, more often than all men, and honour its well. Amen.